this great hall of justice, there's assembled the world's six greatest heroes, created by the cosmic legends of the universe. Chris Chavez from BICBP Network, Robbie Palmer from the Nerdynomicon, Brooke Heatley Palmer from the Nerdynomicon, Holly Michelle from the Nerdynomicon, David Duncan of Synthaholics, Aaron O'Brien of Synthaholics. Their mission, to fight injustice, to fight that which is wrong, and to serve all mankind. This is the Nerds of the Round Table. Welcome, everyone, to Synthaholics. We are having a Nerds of the Round Table discussion with everybody here. We have Chris Chavez of the Back Issues Comic Book Podcast.
What's up?
We have Robbie Palmer of Artful Gremlins.
What is up?
We have Brooke Heatley Palmer from Artful Gremlins Podcast.
Hi, with the baby too, Max.
And Max is here as well. And then we have Holly Michelle from Artful Gremlins.
Hello.
And we have, as always, David Duncan of Synthaholics.
I'm here!
And there's just little old me, Aaron O'Brien.
Yay, Aaron O'Brien!
You're not a little old man. Come on.
There's only one little old guy here.
So, Star Wars The Last Jedi, we've all seen it. We're not going to give any spoilers away in the first little bit here, but let's go around and talk about our general feelings. Chris, I'm going to start with you. Just general takeaways, if you're going to talk to a friend who hasn't seen the movie but wants to know how you felt about it.
I would say throw all your hopes away. Like, go with those high hopes you're going in with, like thinking, great, we're going to get back into this and it's going to be amazing. Let those go.
Did you like Force Awakens?
I enjoyed it for what it was, because I got what they were doing with that. You know what I mean? They were trying to bring you back, make you feel comfortable again, and be like, remember this world? This is what we had before. But this just, it didn't feel like the right movie to come right after. This doesn't feel right. It feels like, we'll get into it.
That's
without spoilers. But
without
overall,
spoilers.
I would say, you know, don't go in with high hopes, because they're going to be dashed.
Robbie.
What I would say is all those hopes and feelings that you have, get rid of them before you sit down in your seat, and in the best possible way. I thought that this movie far exceeded any expectation that I had based on the subject matter that it gave. I didn't think it was the wrong movie to chase it up with. I felt like it was an interesting choice to take it. After Force Awakens, I didn't see a lot of what was coming. And I mean that in the best possible way. I thought it was fantastic.
Okay.
Not the best Star Wars, but right up there.
Interesting. Brooke?
Well, I'm definitely the odd man out, because I loved it. I thought it was amazing.
From beginning to end, you thought the whole thing was great.
I thought it was a little long, but I thought it was really good. I loved it. And I have to say, as a woman who hopes to have, you know, more children, maybe a little girl, it was great to point to a Star Wars movie with so many strong female characters. And maybe that's not important to some people, but as a woman, it was cool to see, like, not just Princess Leia, but so many others.
David?
I went in with a little expectations because Disney's disappointed me twice other, and they didn't disappoint in the fact that I'm still disappointed. So go watch Return of the Jedi, go watch Empire, go watch the original movie, and enjoy those three movies and pretend nothing else exists.
Okay. Holly Michelle.
I liked it.
That's it? That's all I gotta say?
I mean, now that so much has been said, I mean, you guys are all like, you know, abandon all hope. And hope was kind of a big theme.
Yeah.
Hope
was a huge theme.
In the movie, so I don't know.
So it was in Rogue One, too, and they just waste that word. It might as well be a swear word at this point.
Well, I enjoyed it.
Rogue One.
I enjoyed it. I didn't go in expecting anything fantastic, but... So I guess I was pleasantly surprised, even though, I don't know. I liked it.
Okay. My general feeling was I think there were some great visually aspects of it.
Yeah.
Beautiful movie.
Yeah.
But
that can't be denied.
I felt very let down by a lot of things. I think there were some cool parts to it, and there's some really kick-ass things, scenes that I was like, wow, this is amazing. But then there's things I'm like, why is this here? So
yeah.
That's our non-spoiler. You can turn this off now if you have not seen The Last Jedi.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah. But if you have seen it, or if you don't care about spoilers and you just want to hear everybody's take on everything, definitely continue. Continue listening.
Or watching.
Hi!
We didn't forget about you guys. No.
We're going to go into this Last Jedi synopsis. You guys respond while I'm going through here if you something you liked or you hated or thought was weird. So we get here at the very beginning. The resistance fighters led by General Leia Organa. They're evacuating their base. The First Order is attacking them. And Poe decides he's going to have this really gutsy attack where he takes his X-Wing fighter and he goes right to the Dreadnought.
Take off cannons so they can...
head on.
Yeah.
And he makes a phone call to Huxley and he kind of like messes with him.
Now I'm going to stop you there because
so
I really liked that scene. That was... I didn't expect the amount of humor that we got right off the bat in Star Wars. And at first, I was a little bit taken aback.
Okay? Same. I have to agree with that, yeah.
Because Star Wars, at least the original trill, it was much more earnest. You know what I mean? Sure, it had its funny little moments every now and again, you know, when Han Solo's slicing up the Tauntaun, you know?
Yeah.
It had its moments like that. But I didn't expect the overt humor, the contrast between Poe Dameron and... Little Lord fucking Fauntleroy or whatever you want to call him.
Yeah.
I forget his name, but...
Huxley. But here's...
Weasley. Weasley.
But here's the issue with this, with Huxley. This is the thing that gets me upset with this. Like, mm-hmm. All right, Poe's messing with him.
Yeah.
Right. Obviously. And it's a funny scene. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
But Huxley is directing the whole First Order, and it's like, he's like getting like punked.
Yeah.
Admittedly, it felt a little space ballsy.
I'm just like, wait, how do you become commander of all the First Order?
I'll give you that. I would then redirect you to our alleged commander in chief.
That's a different story.
Art mirrors fiction. Okay. So,
well, all right, good point. Good point.
You can say that, and then that's exactly where my mind went. And as soon as I'm sitting here thinking about, you know, I didn't expect this to be funny. I love in Star Wars to put myself in the shoes of a lot of characters, and I hope I'm not sounding arrogant saying that. No, I would be doing exactly what Poe did.
Well,
I'm that kind of asshole.
I was the same way. I was taken aback right away because I was like, oh, are they really going to try to make this? I mean, because we saw, and this is not to go off on a side tangent, but when Thor came out, this new Thor, there's a lot more comedy in it, and you can tell they're trying to latch on to what everybody likes about some of the bigger movies, like Guardians.
Right.
So I just thought to myself, is that what they're going to start doing with Star Wars now? Are we going to get just nonstop slapstick humor? But
I think it worked better.
I was able
Thor,
to accept
though.
It at the beginning because in the last one, Poe Dameron was a smartass. Like right away at the very beginning, he was a smartass. So it made sense. It was a little long for me how long he continued to punk him.
Mm-hmm. I'll agree with you
like,
on
we
that.
We can cut. Like let's get.
It was a shorter
now.
Scene. I think they could have cut maybe 5 to 10 seconds.
They could have cut a little bit down, but. But for me, the humor throughout the film, where I felt like it was a little bit more than needed in this.
Right.
And it starts here. This is when I was just like, whoa.
And it was different. I agree.
Yeah.
But so we have that little spot there. And then we have, obviously, we have the whole thing where the bombers are going in to bomb the Dreadnought. Or was it? It was called the Dreadnought.
Yeah,
that was the Dreadnought.
Right. So, and they're going to...
Not using Y-Wings for some reason. Y-Wings are bomber class fighters.
Accurate. But are they heavy bombers?
Bombs don't fall in space, so...
That's the thing.
Yeah.
but then I told myself, all right, just suspend belief. Like, let this go. Like, let's get into...
We're moving rocks with our minds.
But they're doing a whole World War II kind of feel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what it felt like when you watch those bombs fall, like you're watching those documentaries in World War II.
Yeah. But, I mean, so... And there was a great scene where the last bomber and the pilot... Or the... I don't know if she was the pilot or the bomb.
She was a turret.
Oh, she was a turret.
Turret operator.
She had to hit the little button to open the garage door.
Did anybody else expect the Force to happen at that moment?
I did.
Okay. It wasn't just me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought that she was going to use the Force, but I guess it wasn't.
Right.
The Force of her leg.
Kick. Mm-hmm. My back is broken. I fell down 17 flights.
Good thing that one leg works.
This is not hurting me whatsoever.
He kicks like a mule. All right. So the cool thing is Poe takes out all the gun turrets really fast. And I guess
because they just jumped out of hyperspace, they didn't release their TIE fighters yet? And they couldn't attack. So that makes sense.
My thought on that scene, since I can jump in, I was surprised by the body count. It was a really high body count in Star Wars. Like, I don't remember that many people dying. Like, they just were like, screw it. They killed everybody.
Maybe you just didn't care when they first did. Now you're like, wait a second. People are dying.
I just feel like the rebellion always... The rebellion always seemed like rabbits. There always seemed to be more of them. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, no, there's like seven of us left. I was
there,
like,
yeah.
That's it. Like, you killed all of them.
That is a good point.
I don't remember such a high body count in Star Wars. I mean, except for like clones, but who cares about them?
Well, in The New Hope, when they're all attacking the Death Star, there was a shit ton of X-Wings that went down, but it was the fact that they showed the monitors... They're showing how many X-Wings.
Battlestar Galactica. Yeah, it was. That's what I felt like.
The whole movie was like Battlestar Galactica, the chase.
The stakes were raised once you could see visually how many were remaining.
Yeah.
How many were down, but how many were
left. Yeah, and... So the bombers take out, the dreadnought, and everyone's all happy. So that's cool, but...
Except for Leia.
Leia chastised Poe for his actions because she told him to break off the attack. And he didn't. And he was like, well, we could have taken out a dreadnought. He's like, at what cost? You know, you won the fight, but you were could lose. Exactly. Or,
valid point.
So, I mean, and she's right about it. So, and this is the strange thing about this whole movie. It seems like Poe is wrong.
A lot.
Quite a bit.
That's the theme of the movie. Poe is wrong.
So they should have been Last Jedi. Should have been Poe's wrong.
That's what kind of bothers me, is that it almost seems like they went out of their way to paint him as this hot-headed, like, start going and shoot before asking questions kind of a guy. And then we saw how it ended, and I was like, does that make sense?
Right.
Like, the whole
to me, it
movie.
Did. How many times have we seen the infallible hothead?
Yeah.
You know? It felt a little bit refreshing. But it's a version of genre that had been wrong.
The first movie, I didn't get him as as that hothead.
He was supposed to die in the first movie, and he kind of should have, so this movie could have been a lot easier.
Character altogether in this one.
Yeah.
But I don't want to jump right to the
end. Maybe his recklessness comes from him almost dying.
Yeah.
Could be. So after that, we have they jump into cyberspace, but the First Order has a tracking device and follows them. And this is where Kylo Ren goes to attack the ship.
I feel like this is kind of weird. They've never mentioned tracking through hyperspace in any other Star Trek movie. Star Wars movie.
In this, they say this is a new thing. That this is
I
kind of feel like it has happened before.
Well, I don't know if it has or not, but this is happening now. So
yeah.
Kylo Ren does not fire on the ship where Leia is, but then there's other TIE fighters do start firing. So we see him hesitate to kill his mother. So there's a little bit of
that internal conflict.
Yeah. Still good in him. So, yeah. The bridge.
Which I was expecting, though. I was expecting him to blow her away then. I was too. So this is how they're going to write her up.
I was too.
Right.
So, but then we get Leia gets sucked out into space. But she ends up saving herself through the force.
Can we stop and address that real quick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the moment.
That was
the moment to me that I went,
you're like, fuck it, I'm out.
What is going on with this right now?
Yeah.
Is this for real? And I literally turned to the person we were with, our friend Verge, and I said, did somebody put shrooms in my popcorn? Like, what just happened? Yeah. Because it sucks her out, right? And I thought, and I remember reading somewhere that they said that they were going to give Leia a cool send-off. Like, it wasn't going to be that they're just going to kill her off kind of a thing.
Right.
So I was waiting to see how they were going to do it. So when that happened, I'm like, well, what the fuck? They said they weren't going to kill her, right? I guess they are. And all of a sudden that, like, Superman thing happened. Like, she was floating in space dying, and all of a sudden, like, the sun hit her. And, well, it wasn't. But you know what I mean? All of a sudden she came back, and then it was this, like, weird flying thing, and I was just like...
I didn't like how they did that.
I'm not a fan of what's happening right now. It just threw me off, dude. I was just like, what?
Yeah.
It was interesting for the fact that she went floating, you know, like, it was unusual. That's the unusual thing that was interesting for me, but it was so weird. And I'm like, is this a Force thing?
Well, that seemed...
Well, it had to be a Force thing.
Yeah. That's what Brandon was saying. He's like, well, she's one with the Force. She can, I mean, you know, be fine with that. But then doesn't that... I mean, what does that say about any other Jedi or anything else?
Yeah, they just come back to life.
Like, yeah.
So here's a question, though. So the ship still has it's shields, right?
Yes, right.
And one thing we didn't actually talk about when we touched on like the bomber mm-hmm. was like the bay doors are open. They are outside of the Earth's that planet's gravitational force. There's no oxygen, so there's got to be something that they're not. They're able to still breathe even while those bay doors are open.
I'm thinking the shields of the bomber just keeps the atmosphere in.
Yeah.
But then I would assume that the same would be with her ship. But then why would she crystallize? Like, you
that
can't come back from that.
Because it's cold.
Like, it was weird.
Yes, but well, I mean, they did it in the Guardians of the Galaxy. Of a barrier.
Disney did it in
here that's already contained. You shouldn't crystallize.
You shouldn't crystallize. So, like,
I don't think she was within
on
the
one hand, it's like, is it? But then it's like, but.
I think the shield.
Not.
I think the shields only deflect energy beams because Kylo Ren flew through the shield to the ship with just fine because he got so close to the door when he blew up the hangar.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just a weird image and seeing her float like that and the whole thing, and I was just kind of like, and if she was floating back, why not float right through the hole you came out of? Instead, it was this whole like hand against the window thing. And I know they were trying to make it feeling.
Isn't that the room she was in when...
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was bridge.
She threw into the bridge.
Yeah.
It was just, I don't know. It threw me off. And that from then forward, I was just kind of like, I don't know. I don't know if I can return now because this is throwing me off big time. Now, that's not to say that a lot of what happened in the rest of the film, I was like, oh, that's awesome or this is cool because they did. They expanded a lot on what happens in this universe and, you know, a lot new. I don't know. It was that was hard for me.
I think they made a lot of weird choices in this movie and that threw me off too. But so anyway, so she floats in. They save her, and she's in some kind of med unit.
Goes into a coma.
Medical coma.
Yeah,
where they're trying to revive her from there. So anyways, they go to, we go back to the planet Attu. Or is it Axtu?
Octo.
Octu?
Bless you.
Yeah, Octo.
Octu?
Octo.
With Chewbacca, R2 at the Millennium Falcon, and Rey. We kind of pick up the scene where the movie ended on Force Awakens, where she's handing the lightsaber to Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
And Luke's like, nah.
Fuck this.
Yeah, just throws it over.
I knew that was coming.
It was like it was a Yoda moment.
Yeah, this like, I don't happened. I knew it was coming, and there was a slight tinge of would Luke really do that? But like what you just said, it was that Yoda moment. I think we were catching Luke where Yoda was. Remember, because Yoda was going crazy. Like they said, he was losing his mind. That's why he was so talking crazy when he was dying. And I think we're at a point where whatever happened with Luke, it really messed with him enough to where he's just like that. He's I don't care about this stuff anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But I knew it. I saw that happen. I was like, he's just going to just throw it away and be like, I don't care.
I need to quote Mark Hamill here. I fundamentally disagree with every decision they made for Luke Skywalker in this film. I'm totally with you, Mark Hamill. They ruined your character.
He said that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He said this earlier. No, he said I fundamentally disagreed with every single thing that happened with my character in this movie.
I didn't read that.
Interesting.
I've seen video.
I did hear him say that he disagreed with a lot of the choices that was made with his character.
He said, I fundamentally disagree with everything that happened with my character. That's what he said in an interview. He was sitting next to Daisy Ridley. I've seen a video of it.
I'll have to check that out.
I totally agree with you, Mark. I disagree with every single thing they did to your character in this movie. All of it.
I can't get there.
I just can't get there. I mean, I liked him, but it made us...
No, he's...
So. Yeah, I can't get there at all. I really can't. There were things that were over the top, like, for instance, when he threw the lightsaber over his shoulder, but...
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, that's where we're... Exactly where we're at now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he basically is like, I'm done. I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing any of this stuff. So that was...
Slams the door, too. He's like, yeah. Leave me alone.
It feels like... I've seen this trope before where the student wants to be taught by the master and the master keeps kicking him out.
Yeah.
I think this is something we've seen.
Kind of like Kill Bill.
Yeah, that kind of...
She had to earn her way. Yeah. But this guy wasn't... Luke wasn't even wanting to train her at all. The guy was willing to train her, but she just had to work for it. Luke...
You're talking about Kill Bill.
Yeah. And the difference is Luke didn't even want to.
No, but it's a trope that we see in a lot of like kung fu movies and stuff like that.
It was used as very heavily as inspiration for this.
Oh yeah, and it's obviously. So she keeps on getting kicked out, or not kicked out, but like locked out, and he's like
shunned.
Another thing is we find out that. Vice Admiral Holdo is in command now, and Poe, because he was demoted because of his actions with the dreadnought, so he's not captain anymore. He's commander.
Oh, he's a commander now. He got demoted to captain.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. I didn't know how that worked, but anyway, so he's like a nobody. He's a peon now, and she's got some mission, or she's got her own plan of how they're going to escape. And the idea is the Resistance fleet is moving just slightly faster than the First Order's fleet, so they can just keep a little ahead while they're just slowly bombarding them.
The slowest, most boring chase scene I've ever seen in a movie, and it lasts the entire film.
Okay, it was like the most OJ on the three.
It was worse than that. So dumb.
And it's like, here I thought to myself, you know, Empire, they chased the Falcon through the asteroid belt, you know, and that was exciting. I'm not saying they were going to do that, but maybe they could pick something in that genre to make it a little more exciting and be like, oh, this is fun, but it's like just a slow plotting.
It was
like,
so boring.
I feel like that,
and it was the entire movie.
Yes.
But I feel like that let them do much more with Daisy and Mark.
I feel like it...
Because it was able to... Like, there wasn't much happening on the other side. So
definitely not a lot
happening.
They were
able to, you know, actually play on the other story.
Not a lot. I feel like he could have ended that chase scene and done something else on a planet, something, you know, another battle.
There were for sure other decisions they could have made. For me, it was like a trade-off between thrilling excitement of these chase scenes with, you know, dogfighting and whatnot, as opposed to what we got, which to me was much more of a feeling of impending doom. It felt much more setting than it did an actual chase.
Okay, you know what I mean? I'll give you that, but couldn't it be cool? A second choice is maybe that they had enough fuel to make jumps, and they keep chasing them to jumps, and they keep trying to hide, and it's like a cat and dog.
Oh, hell yeah.
Trying to find each other different systems. We could see totally different planetary systems and weird
nebulas or different things.
We could have had our throwbacks. We could have finally, you know, kind of bypassed Dagobah. You know, you're seeing the Dagobah exit here 4 miles or something like that.
Why not?
For sure. You could have had flesh.
You could do all that, and on top of that, you could have more introduction to see. You're more engaged with these characters. So.
Right.
So,
Dave. And why didn't, you know, Huxel, or what's her name, the purple hair lady, Huxel?
Holdo.
Why didn't she, like, just tell him the plan? Sure, he was demoted, but, I mean, he hatches this other harebrained scheme that takes a third of the movie.
But this is the problem with Poe. The whole movie is that he wants to be making the calls, but he's not in charge.
But he also doesn't get told what's going on. So
he's a commander.
He has to make it.
Shit rolls downhill, Dave.
Yeah. And I think a big part of it, like, I think a big theme is not only his growth, but the people's, you know, they've lost hope. And he needs to grow, and the people need to gain their hope back.
And going on what you're saying about losing hope, we get introduced to Rose. Is it Tico or Taco or Taco?
I could only remember her first name.
Let's go Taco.
Okay. Her name is Rose. She's a mechanic. She's a mechanic, and
we can all agree on Rose.
Rose.
Yeah.
Rose.
A Rose by any other name.
I was thinking that.
A Rose by another name is Taco.
Rose Taco.
Her sister was the
I'd be friends with Rose Taco.
It's Tico, right?
I think so.
T-I-C-O.
Tico.
Tico?
Just call her Rose.
Rose.
It would be cool if it was Taco. But anyway.
Her sister was...
Because I love tacos.
Her sister was quesadilla taco.
One of those guys.
Anyway, so Rose catches Finn trying to escape. So Finn wakes up out of his little coma thing, and we have another funny scenes where he runs into Poe and he's leaking all over the place, which that was funny.
Yeah.
There are a lot of funny scenes to this.
I could
I have
that.
To say.
That was funny.
That feels like it felt right. Yeah. It didn't feel forced.
And that
felt,
kind of felt a little bit unnecessary.
Really?
If I could have cut any of them, that one was the one I would have cut.
I don't know, because it helped with, like, the short circuiting of BB-8 when he was flying. It was funny.
Yeah, yeah. It did.
And
it was funny, yes.
I didn't get it. Up to like 5 seconds after, like, he gets out of the plane and he runs to him, and so the whole theater's quiet, and I was like, ah!
I got that one.
So, oh, I get it.
I was like, damn it.
So Rose,
reaction.
Yes.
So when Finn is brought up to speed, he's like, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And the cool thing about Finn in this the whole story, this movie, is we see his character completely change.
Yeah.
He does a complete U-turn, where Finn was always the guy who ran.
Mm-hmm.
Now he changed. He's facing things head on.
Right.
So yeah, that was interesting. Maybe to a fault, too. But
he's still running, but instead of away, he's running towards
yeah.
it.
Right. So Rose catches Finn trying to get into an escape pod. She said that he's, you know,
honorable and
yeah. So,
but well, at first she's like, "You're an inspiration,
right?
You were." You
well,
were
she didn't know what he was
thing.
Doing.
Yeah, you made you, like you inspired my sister to become like the girl that died. Like you inspired her to be the pilot. Like she was, he was like this god to her almost. And then she sees him
in the bag.
And you're trying to get out.
Backpack,
which
ready to
he
go.
Wasn't yep. trying to flee. Like right. she didn't understand what right, he was doing right.
at first. Well. Don't tase me, bro.
Well, he gets tased, awesome. And what happens is that they decide they're going to figure out this way. They're going to
disarm the tracking
device. The tracking device. They're going to get rid of the tracking device, but they need a code cracker for that, and they have to go to some special... And this is another thing that's really bizarre. They have this call with Maz Kanata where she's in the middle of a fight.
Right.
And like, how is that like, camera, like, panning in...
Thank you.
Yeah, that scene bothered me a lot, too.
That
like, why...
felt weird.
I mean, we're talking about Star Wars. It doesn't have to be a static camera. It could be
don't
this
they talk
floating
to
the orb of
yeah.
some shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it could
so the
be
bot
droid.
Could have just... Well, it's a droid can follow around.
Strange,
it does. It felt very weird.
Yeah.
Get
but the
off,
thing is,
terminology.
The droid is also in the line of fire almost in every single shot.
Yes.
So it's like why is that
strange.
Thing I can
whatever,
shot?
Whatever.
It was a strange thing with Malika. I didn't understand that
she should have been hiding while answering some sort of.
Or she could have just been. You could
know.
See that she was under fire and she's
yeah,
like, "Look,
yeah,
I'm
that's
under
what I'm
attack,
saying.
Kind
yeah.
of thing, and I can't do it now. But here's a guy who can do it.
Yeah.
And she directs him to a codebreaker that could. Help them. So, and they steal a shuttle and they take off. So, again, people can steal shuttles all the time.
Yeah. Stealing shuttles is undetected. Oh, it's just a piece of debris. In Star Trek and in Star Wars, man, this is
people just steal shuttles.
Undetected. It just blows my mind. Don't you have security codes and things? Oh, my goodness.
I'm pretty sure they did.
I got to rewatch Battle.
Starbuck stole a Viper and went off and did some craziness once.
Yeah.
And
the seas weren't fell off the rails, but yeah.
All right.
So I was right.
Anyways, so we get back to Luke finds out a lot about what's happened since he's been in his little hiding spot. That you know, Han Solo is dead, and she kind of brings up the speed about the First Order and Kylo Ren. From
he realizes Han is dead since he sees Chewie.
Yeah, right. And from there we get the whole thing where he sort of agrees that he's going to help. Ray a little bit.
I'll give you three lessons.
Yeah, so just a little bit. So it's kind of weird. And we get some it's some interesting things where she I don't know what you call that big rock where he does his final finish.
The meditation
but,
rock.
Yeah, but she starts, you know, reaching out, and we have another funny thing with the little blade of grass.
I didn't like that at all. I thought that was kind
of funny. It was kind of funny.
I like seeing him sarcastic. I thought it was great.
The reason I liked so much of this is it was so completely reminiscent of Yoda.
That's exactly
why.
When
I
he throws the lightsaber over his head, when he does with the little tickling thing, it's like all those things with a very Yoda-ish thing to do.
The lightsaber bothered me because of how much reverence Luke always had in the past for the lightsaber. Yes, this is a battle-hardened, completely broken shell of a man, but the lightsaber bothered me. The blade of grass? No, I loved.
I just feel
that just felt like Luke to me. That felt like Yoda version of Luke.
That's the thing. I just feel like Yoda wasn't in Luke's life long enough to influence him with
that much.
Those characteristics so that when he's older, maybe he picks up on those kinds of things.
But the thing is, I always
feel like Luke Skywalker.
I always thought that Yoda did that
for a while.
I always thought that Yoda did that to throw him off. I didn't feel like he was really going crazy. I thought he was just like, oh, you're looking for Yoda, this Jedi Master. I want to show you batshit crazy, and I won't reveal myself to you until I'm ready.
Well, but that was...
That's why
he was trying to suss out who Luke was and if he was worth training, because he wanted to see who he was, because he obviously didn't know.
I don't think that was Luke's mindset. He didn't want to do anything. He was just like, fuck everything.
No. I agree with that. That's true.
Yeah, I agree with you with Yoda. That's what I was trying to say.
But I think he's taking Yoda's teaching points, how he would do is like, I'm going to be as bizarre as possible.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
I just feel like Luke would have done it differently himself.
I think so, too.
Things go weird, man.
Yeah.
Wait, he's got all those weird little toad creatures that...
Yeah.
Which we don't see until something breaks.
Maids. The porgs?
Toad maids.
And
no,
do we
toad
need...
Toad maids, the cleaners.
The repair people.
They were weird looking.
Were they toads? I thought they were fish.
Were they?
Had very
And do we need to see Luke milk an animal?
No,
no.
Did we need to see that?
We did not need that.
I've never not needed to see that. That was amazing.
No, it wasn't. The fact of milk, man.
It was not.
He's like drinking it. He's like, oh, yeah.
That was green milk, not blue milk.
All right, fair enough.
But Santas have the blue milk.
But still. Fair enough. All right,
that was I guess it's the first time we've
seen... I agree with you, but there were no Banthas present, so I'll take what I can get.
I guess it's the first time we've seen tits in Star Wars, though.
Yeah.
Fair enough. The worst tits ever.
Teats, more like.
Yes.
Well, anyways, that being said, we get... So Rey has this moment where she does, you know, connect with the Force, and Luke Skywalker's just pretty amazed because he's like, holy shit, this... The girl's powerhouse, and he says,
but she connects a little bit too much with the dark side, and he like freaks out,
right?
And doesn't even try to stop,
right?
Right.
But she's more like, "Fuck it, I want to see."
But why would she stop? Because no one's trained her.
Precisely.
That doesn't make any sense. It's like it's like if you walk into a land and you don't know there's a certain law that you're not supposed to do something, and you do it. It's like, is it your fault that you didn't know?
No.
Well, a cop once told me, "Ignorance of the law is no excuse for breaking the law."
However, I agree with you.
But I agree with you.
But if you're a stranger in a strange land, and they say, you know, wearing shoes in the house is completely illegal, and you'll go to jail for it, and you walk inside the house with shoes, like, why would you know that?
I agree with you. You know, I'm not arguing the point. I was just kind of being a dick.
But I'm just saying, so she doesn't know not to reach out or connect or commune with the dark side, and she does it. So why she's looking for answers. That's the whole thing with Rey. She's searching for answers, and we have
that. She wants to know what's up with her parents.
Wants to know with the parents, and we see the whole thing when she does go down that tunnel where she's looking for answers. So that's the big thing about her character. But during that time, so he's freaked out, and he says that he's seen that power before, and he's talking about Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
And where he was freaked out by it, and this time he's like really freaked out. So he hasn't seen this much power in a long time. So
can I just say I think she's looking for purpose, not answers.
Well, purpose and answers.
You know, fair.
Especially with her, there's a difference.
I think she wants both. I don't think she knows, but...
She thinks she's looking for answers, when in actuality she's looking for purpose. No, I like that.
Yeah, it's pretty perceptive. I think, because Kylo Ren at the very end says, you know your parents came from nothing. They trade you for drinking money or something like that. So she deep down knows that she was just been lying to herself for a long time. Mm-hmm. So, and that's a good point.
But he doesn't really know her parents, really. I think he's just saying that. It's probably a red herring for the next movie.
For sure.
Well, anyway, so let's move forward. So, we get the whole thing. But then Rey and Kylo Ren start having these weird meetings like across time and space. And I guess this is...
Force connection.
This is instrumented through Snoke. That's so
it comes out initially.
I don't know. I have a question.
Yeah,
because it shows up after he dies.
Yes.
I know, it does. I'm not...
Yeah.
But I don't know, maybe he's just making it easier.
He unlocked the door and they can now walk through the door.
Yeah.
Or he figured out that they were doing it and on their own, and he claimed it so that they felt inferior.
Which is also possible.
I think that's what I thought.
Well,
I think a little bit of A and B.
But that is a new thing that they introduce again. Like the, you know, tracking through hyperspace. Now they're introducing... That you can connect to each other psychically through the Force and just talk.
I think there's a little bit in Empire Strikes Back where Luke called out the Leia,
right?
A little bit,
but they've never seen each other.
Not where you actually are seeing each other.
But it was interesting. It's interesting. Yeah. Kylo Ren says that I can see you, but I can't see your surroundings.
Right.
Yeah. So, I think it's like in Stranger Things when Eleven's in that thing and it's just all black. And
I haven't seen Stranger Things yet.
I think it's that kind of mentality where it's like one on one. You know what I mean? That's all you see.
You need to make that.
I want to.
You'll love flip. It. It's so great.
Shut your phone off. That's what you're doing tonight.
I still need tonight. To
all right. So Rey realizes that she's not going to get Luke to do anything. Right. So she does have the scene where she goes to that little tunnel with the dark side, and you have this mirror image, and she's looking for answers for her parents, but she doesn't get that, and it's just more confusion.
She just sees herself.
Did anybody feel that was a strange scene?
I felt that was weird. I feel like maybe they're trying to hint that maybe she's also, born of the Force, maybe. She doesn't have parents. She's just...
I didn't get that at all.
I hope that's not the case. I mean, I didn't get that, but I'm just like, well, her, you see two figures walk up, and then she wipes it away, and it's just her. So I'm like,
But that's the same thing that happened with Luke and Dagobah when he fights Vader, and it's Luke's face with the mask. I mean, I just feel that more than anything is the dark side's not going to give her the answer she's looking for.
Well, if it gives her the answer she's looking for, then it can't manipulate her.
Right. Absolutely.
That is a good point. What I was going to say on that scene, different to my feelings on Dagobah in the Force Cave there, I always felt like that was almost like a metaphor for Luke's greatest enemy will be himself, his own internal struggle with the dark side. For this, I almost felt like the figure initially could have been her, one of her parents or her parents, but her mind won't allow her to reach that part. She's closed herself away from it because she doesn't want to see or feel that truth. Because once she realizes that she was just given up essentially for beer money, she has nothing else to hold on to. Mm-hmm. So if you are using this as a coping mechanism, why would you allow yourself?
She finds that out later. Like that comes out later when
we can touch on this later.
If that's even true,
at that point that she always knew.
Okay,
Kylo was always there.
But it was an interesting scene nonetheless, an interesting choice to show her kind of like different versions of herself through time, waiting to see.
Which is a weird thing. Yeah.
I didn't hate it, but I was also, this is very strange for a Star Wars.
It was like very Lynchian.
Yeah, it was like very Twin Peaks. I was like, this is a Twin Peaks moment. Like, why are they doing that?
Yeah. That's the thing. So much in this movie, I was like, why?
Why?
What? Yeah. There was a lot of little things like that. And I
that
was like,
saber you like is going to come back in style.
Twin Peaks reference. All right. So Rey decides that she's going to take off. She says, either you're going to help us or not. And he's like, nah.
Kylo could be our only hope.
Yeah. Because she senses there's some good in him somewhere. Right. But Luke says, nah, and she takes off. So, that's kind of hard. It was a hard part to see. And then, next we get, Luke basically going to burn down the whole tree with the ancient Jedi writings. And Yoda shows up. And
he can manipulate things through the Force even after he's dead. This is something new.
Well,
I thought that was interesting.
It was explained in the books, though, and in the comics, when they're talking about how much more powerful Force ghosts are.
We've never seen the Force ghosts do anything.
Never in a movie like that, yeah.
I mean, nothing in canon have we seen Force ghosts do anything to manipulate things other than just translate information. We've never seen them affect the real world in any meaningful physical way before in a film. Yeah.
Not in a film. I could be wrong about this. I think we've seen something in, was it Clone Wars or Rebels? I forget which. I think we saw something like that in there, which that is canon. But don't quote me on that. I could be completely lying.
I'm not 100% up on either of those shows.
That might be a fact I made up.
That could be fake news. That could be
Well,
fake news.
Anyway, so...
24% of facts are made up on the spot.
80% of people know that, Dave. Anyway, so...
10% of me is confused.
But Yoda shows up, and because Luke's going to burn it, but it kind of hedges, and then Yoda just burns it down. And
lightning bolts. He uses Force lightning,
bitch. It is an interesting scene, and I did like it. I did say before we started recording that I felt that first instant when Yoda shows up, he looked a little animated.
I agree.
He looked really weird the first time.
And then he got better. But then I was like, this is freaking Disney. Make that guy look awesome.
I had never noticed his creepy little feet before.
Oh, yeah.
Did you guys look at his little weird toes?
He always had weird toes.
They match his fingers, but they're really long. And they were very octopus intensively. Like, when they're just sitting there, like, watching it burn, you can just look at his feet. They're just like...
Well...
It's creepy.
Anyways.
I watched it in 3D. I get distracted.
Oh, God.
So the toes were all up in your eyes.
So Holly's over there. I'm
scratching your eyes.
For you.
Right?
Pedicure, Mr. Yoda Man.
He's very strange.
Well, speaking of Force ghosts, Kylo Ren basically worships Anakin. Why hasn't Anakin just come and bitch slapped him? I just want to know why.
Like, Force is closed off. I think Kylo Ren has got a lot of issues. I think he's closed off to a lot of things.
But he basically worships Anakin. Like, if that's anything that'll summon a Force ghost.
Darth Vader, though.
Same thing.
No.
Anakin is Darth. They're the same. They're the same body.
The same body, but a different persona.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what we get next is that Vice Admiral Holdo reveals her secret plan is that she's going to just—they're going to take all the
I'm on the trip.
They're going to take all their transports and go to a planet. This planet is an old base for the Rebel Alliance.
Yeah.
And
salt planet.
Oh my gosh, it was beautiful.
Yeah,
that, I thought that was pretty
crystal
cool.
Crystal critters.
Yes. Why did that guy go like, go... Salt.
It's, I think maybe, to explain, maybe he was trying to explain.
I'm not an idiot! I understand it, salt!
Maybe he was trying to explain for viewers, like, why is this shit turning red?
Right.
It could be the best type of exposition they could give.
It's the whole Plinkett thing, where he's like, the audience is a bunch of popcorn-eating masses, and everything has to be explained to them.
That's what it felt like for a second. Yeah, I remember seeing the trailer thinking it was red smoke.
They think we're idiots.
Everything red, what's going on? So when you see it, I was like, well, that's kind of...
I thought it was going to end up being a smoke shield as well. Like, they dropped a smoke haze shield so that they couldn't see the reinforcements behind them.
And you find out it's just like... salt, when it's disturbed, it's all changing color.
To me, that was
kind of cool.
I thought it was a bit anticlimactic compared to what I thought it was going to be in my head. You know, just seeing all this red smoke, and then I'm ready for this huge rebel.
But visually, like how
visually it was amazing.
Did it look when they were fucking just artillery hitting everything, and it was just from white to red, just everything.
Yeah.
That was splotches of red everywhere.
Phenomenal visuals.
But
cheating, so you don't have blood.
Yeah, made it look bloody.
Real quick, we get Finn and Rose and BB-8 go to the casino planet, Canto Bight or Bright, Bite.
Yeah.
And they're looking for this computer hacker, and they get this basically guy who's like, he seems like super smart, but he's his name is DJ. And he's just this guy who's going to find in jail.
Benicio del Toro's character.
Yeah.
They made this huge deal about the character. He's in the movie for all of like 11 minutes.
Total screen time.
Yeah, it's just like,
and it's totally a character thing that he picks, like with the stuttering kind of a thing, and like you can see what he was doing. He was trying to create something that'll be like, this is what that character is, and so anyone who does him will have to do that little twitch. And
yeah,
anybody else find that slightly reminiscent of The Usual Suspects though? Some of his mannerisms. Mm. When he kind of made his voice a little bit higher. You know, he's talking a little like this, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It reminded me a lot of The Usual Suspects.
He was an interesting character, but so they steal. There's a whole chase scene with these animals, and we get introduced to these kids that are like slaves?
Yeah. Slave labor.
And
I thought that was super creepy that they open up the door of the stable and there's just a kid that lives there with the animal. I'm like, that's weird.
He's probably
that's really weird.
To make sure that the animals stay there, and if he's beaten.
Yeah.
But that's just so weird.
Well, now with racehorses, they have companions that they make stay in the stables with them.
Okay, but
I think they're sheep.
So, but the idea though is that The First Order just took over recently, and the Republic's been in place for a long time. And I'm not saying they're saying, like, Rose is like, these are all, you know, merchants of, you know, making weapons and stuff like that. So these are all not good people.
They're all weapons dealers. But the thing is, they deal weapons to both the Republic and the...
And outside the Rebels.
Well, there's the First Order. But the idea, more than anything, is that if the Republic has been in place all this time and we still have slaves, like, Republic wasn't that great.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's still child slavery, like with Anakin.
At least here on this planet.
Yeah, but I mean,
it kind of reminded me of Monaco, is what I kept on thinking about in this planet.
I was thinking of the French Riviera, but that was
touche.
Same idea, but the whole idea is, I mean, it's this real glitzy glam place. It was a cool scenery.
Yeah,
but then we get this whole thing where they get put in jail. They meet this DJ hacker in. They escape, and they and then they.
Gonna break your app.
I thought for sure he was like the guy that Maz sent. But like he gambled away his little pin or something.
Yeah.
So I thought for sure at the end it was gonna come out that he was actually the guy.
Yeah.
But
that would have been kind of cool. I never thought of that.
Yeah.
But, I like that.
But so what happens is that they have this whole chase scene because it's very. Very confusing.
Because you got to have at least one exciting chase in the movie, since
animals,
the movie's got
riding the animal.
So cute.
But they're running the animals, and they're running through the beaches and the cities and fields, and but they get captured again. But this is it's about to get captured again, and BB-8 and this DJ guy
made friends, fast friends.
They stole the spaceship and they escaped from there.
They stole another ship,
and they're flying off back to meet back with the Resistance, and they have this plan that they're going to deactivate the tracking device, and because they deactivate, then the Resistance can getaway.
Mm-hmm. Now, I will say this about the whole casino scene. That is the biggest qualm that I have with this movie. I really think that that scene could have been shortened. I think they painted themselves really into a corner introducing people so they couldn't get rid of it. But that scene was way too long.
Too long and too,
way too long.
And all the...
And too
all
convoluted.
Most of the stuff that happened in the first half of the movie felt too long to me.
The development of that whole world, while it was beautiful, it was kind of pointless. You could have done it.
They had to look at so many people because they're looking for a pin on a, like, a lapel. So... They couldn't just walk in and go...
Thanks, Maz.
Yeah,
you gotta look at all those...
BB-8 be mistaken for a slot machine and everything like that.
That was kind of dumb.
Yeah, see, that thing to me again, that was that over-the-top forced humor.
And he's like shooting the coins at him.
Right. Yeah. And yet another thing, you could have gotten rid of those. I did not need those.
There's a lot of superfluous things in this movie that really could have been trimmed. I really don't understand. Like, I think they had a development, let's make this world, let's do this world, let's do this, and then like we have to do this because we did all this work for this Monte Carlo kind of
place. I think the idea behind it is to plant seeds for future things, because we know what they're going to be doing is a lot of these movies that aren't the Skywalker saga, but it takes place in the universe of Star Wars. Yeah. So now you have all kinds of settings to play with, writers and producers. Throw us some ideas. What can you do in these worlds that we're
so that's get what that's Jedi what I'm from thinking. All types of people. That's from why all I, types of worlds.
That's why we see all these new things to play with. You know, all these new planets. There's just it's laying basically ground for you to develop stories and other sagas.
But there's so many planets already in Star Wars that we still don't know a ton about.
Well, yeah,
and that's if you're going to do that with the casino planet, leave it for the Han Solo movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That would have been better. Yeah, that would be perfect.
Exactly.
Leave that one for Han Solo. Take us back to Mos Eisley's or Mos Espa.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So
Rebel, sorry.
Yeah, it's all right. So next we have, they take off from that planet and they infiltrate Snoke's ship, which is this gigantic cheese wedge flying through space. And giant pizza.
They had really lazy designs for Imperial ships in this movie.
What? I mean, they're going off the old ones. But,
yeah. But they're so much more minimalized. I mean, the Star Destroyers had great designs. They had levels and tiers. But then the Dreadnought and Snoke's Destroyer, they're just these giant wedges with nothing else on them in space. Okay.
But so what we have anyways is they get captured by Captain Phasma.
Phasma. Who gets a whole... They brought her back for 5 minutes.
She's the new Boba Fett.
Worse than Boba Fett.
I mean, out of their way to make her look awesome with that chrome look. Like,
completely blast, it reflects else. Blaster bolts, too.
She's taller. Mm-hmm. She's supposed to be a badass, like,
she's
fighter.
Cool, but then it's just like Darth Maul's like, where'd she go?
Yeah, she's cool, lost, not properly
every
used.
Every on screen, she's lost every fight she's been in.
Yeah, she doesn't belong.
But you keep moving it.
She doesn't belong having that, like... I don't know, that status of like, oh, it's her.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
You keep talking that way.
That's totally caught, too. No, but yeah, Phasma, that was another disappointment.
So, but they get captured, so their trick to basically deactivate the tracking device is completely failed. At the same time, the Millennium Falcon puts Rey into a coffin and shoots her off into Snoke's ship.
Uh-huh.
And Kylo Ren greets her and takes her right to Snoke. And we have a whole Emperor Luke Vader scene with Snoke and Kylo and Rey. And it seems that the Snoke kind of like ripped all her memories out of her or their knowledge.
He was trying to.
It seemed like she got a lot of information already. Because he said that he knew where the island was and the planet where Luke was and they were going to destroy
it. Yeah, we saw a whole lot, again, more added information on how powerful the Force can be used. Like the way he actually just freaking pulled her. Like no matter what she did.
But wouldn't Kylo Ren know that? Because he was there as well. He was on the island as well.
You couldn't see her surroundings.
Yeah. No, but he was there at the temple training. So he was there. He
different
would have
planet.
Known the location.
Oh, I think it was a
no, no, no. Yeah,
different
yeah.
planet. Yeah, where he trained.
Pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, he trained him somewhere else.
At the hardest to find place in the universe.
Because the whole previous movie was about how hard it was to find Naboo.
That is confusing because you wouldn't know that, I think, right off the bat, but... it makes sense.
But then again, they never told us where the Jedi Temple was.
No.
Ever.
No.
Right.
They also never went back to the Knights of Ren.
Mm-hmm. No.
I noticed. They missed so much stuff.
Brandon was thinking that maybe the Red Guard were the Knights of Ren.
I was thinking that as well, but
why would they turn on Ren?
Well, because they were following Snoke.
Yeah. That part would make sense, but if they were the Knights of Ren, they were very anticlimactic. I'm expecting more of them in episode 9.
So we get Snoke's gets killed by Kylo Ren because he just slowly shifts the lightsaber to the side.
Which he doesn't notice whatsoever.
And he just shoots a lightsaber and just cuts him in half.
But he totally notices when Rey was trying to pull it with her mind. Remember, he makes it come back around and hit her in the head or something.
Well, he's completely focused on Rey. He's so cocky and sure about Kylo that he doesn't... He's not looking for it. You know, why would he?
So wait a second. Are you saying that Rey killed Snoke? Are you saying that...
I'm saying Kylo killed Snoke. Snoke never even thought to look at Kylo
but
because
he's
so cocky.
He's literally talking, like, narrating what's
going to happen.
Kylo Ren's doing. He's like, I can see everything in his mind. Right now, he's going to ignite his lightsaber.
But he's big with it. He's like, he's going to kill his biggest enemy.
He thinks he's going to kill Rey.
Or, yes, and he thinks he's going to kill Rey, but he doesn't.
Yeah.
So he was vague about it. About at least when you listen to what
which,
he says.
Which then really tells you that Kylo Ren was much more powerful than Snoke in that he could completely, you know,
close off
Snoke from seeing what he was thinking.
Right.
Or he
really changed what Snoke thinks.
Or just play
thinking.
Two
right.
different
that's
things
what
in
say.
His mind.
As soon as he realized, oh, I can see this. Oh, so that's what he's doing. So think of this, do this, think of this, do this, think of this, do this, you know... Something like that. But
yeah,
still
how do you do that? I guess you could shield your part of your mind if you
which
really good.
You have to be more powerful than Snoke, I would think.
Look over here.
Well, we already kind of discussed how he could just block all this other stuff out, and he's not really paying attention to the whole force.
Now, I will say this. My entire theater erupted in applause at that scene, too.
Well, Snoke gets smoked, and
he gets the Darth Maul tree.
And he does get chopped in half, which is pretty grisly. I didn't expect him to show
is this,
that.
Is this the new thing now? Instead of losing a hand in all the movies, we chop him in half?
So
apparently.
And then there's a whole fight with Snoke's guards and their
which was cool.
It was a fun fight
which
scene.
They added again a new thing that they have weapons that are impervious to lightsabers.
Oh right, yeah.
They had that in Force Awakens.
Did they? I didn't remember that.
On in the battle right outside Mas Kanata's tavern. Yep. They
the baton had lightsaber like things on it.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Like
it had
like lining.
Okay.
But so, even in the Old Republic.
Raynison.
So Holdo reveals her plans that they're gonna escape to this planet, like we said before.
Great.
Then Poe starts a mutiny on the whole ship. At that time, he didn't know that they had been captured, or they were going to be captured. That's what happens. But then Leia wakes up out of nowhere and opens up and just takes out Poe. So, and Poe is carted off on the street.
Well, she doesn't take him out. She...
Stuns him.
Yeah, it doesn't take him out, but...
Well, if people are listening and they, like, have
seen
the movie, they're
going to be like, what? Poe's alive. But he's taken on a stretcher.
He thinks she's got his back. He's just like, Leia, sweet, you're here for to help.
And here again, Holdo says she's going to stay on the cruiser and kind of distract the First Order as they're chasing through space and these transports.
But she doesn't distract them. She just stands there
for
10 minutes. She's just standing there doing nothing.
So apparently transports have some kind of cloaking device. That's what they said. Or
right.
That they can be hidden. Now, I don't know how they can't even just look out the window, but we're talking space. But space is vast. And it's possible that they didn't see it.
Maybe they're not, like, the control rooms don't have windows. They're, like, more in the center of the ship. So you can't really see what's happening.
I don't know. There's windows in all the bridges.
Right.
I'm just saying.
You're going for...
Yeah. Don't they have telescopes?
They do have telescopes. Snoke puts one up and makes Rey look at it.
Oh, that's
before
right.
Before he dies. There are telescopes.
Right. That's awesome.
But so anyways, because we're kind of getting out of like...
Sequence.
Yeah. But anyways, and Snoke does show when they do discover that they're escaping, they start firing on the transports. And the transports just can't get away fast enough.
They're firing blindly, too. They're just hoping to hit something because they... can't see it.
Yeah, and so Holdo
doing pretty well for shooting blind.
Holdo,
I don't think they're shooting blind. I think they gave them, I think the DJ gave them the codes. They said that. DJ gave him the ability to see
the show. You're right. That's right.
Good call.
They never missed.
So Holdo decides that what she's going to do, and I think was probably the most stunning thing, is she spins the cruise around and just goes into hyperspace and crashes right into Snoke's ship. And it's just a
God, I loved that.
It was a beautiful scene. It was a beautiful scene.
The thing that surprised me about that is how much it shotgunned and how it hit the other ships, too.
Mm-hmm. I was confused about that. Because, they weren't all in a line.
Well, no, it just shotgun. I guess the hyperspace just ripped it all apart.
Yeah, it made it a shotgun effect
instead of a slug. It brings up a whole bunch
of questions too about tactics and strategies. Like then you could just take any ship and just
at any time
and just throw it at them in hyperspace and have a droid pilot.
Oh, that's Kylo's ship. Let's hit his hyperspace.
Yeah. So
why don't we do that to the Death Star? Exactly. Just hyperspace to it. It seems to be a lot easier.
Yeah,
I mean maybe. Shields, but then,
ships just fly through shields. I think shields only work for energy weapons.
Some things about Star Wars don't make sense.
Because they never explain the science. They never explain the science in Star Wars.
No,
you just have to guess.
So, at the same time, Leia is there with Poe, and they kind of make up for what's happened, and she kind of says, that Holdo... While her plan wasn't wonderful, glorious, heroic, it was just trying to get people to survive. That's the whole idea. So,
she didn't want recognition for what she does.
She did. She just wanted
to do the right thing.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yes. And there was a very good point. And again, this is the whole the Poe getting educated or something.
Right. His growth through the movie.
Yeah. And now we have also just before all that happens, Rose and Finn are going to be executed. And then there's a whole fight that breaks out when the ship gets hit. And that there's a whole fight that happens between Finn and Captain Phasm.
I thought that scene was really weird because she's there. They're going to get executed. The hyperspace thing happens. Then the next time we're there, she's marching in from a door far away. I'm like, you were right there. Right. Why are you marching in from the other room?
I just assumed everybody got knocked all over the place.
She had to go potty. She's coming back.
Or
she's
that.
You know what?
Time out.
Okay, we just got sliced in twain. 5 minute break. Cool.
Smoke them if you got them.
But that's another thing, about the shields. The hangar is blown apart, but they're still able to breathe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Doesn't have to make sense.
Yes.
Doesn't have to make sense. Yeah, so we get the whole fight scene, and Finn destroys Captain Phasm, or supposedly she falls, and Boba Fett.
Yeah.
We assume that she died.
Oh, true.
I mean, they'll probably, do Sex Machina on her again and just bring her back for to waste her again for 5 minutes.
Next year. Right, right. So, anyways, from there, they escape through a shuttle. Apparently, there's still a shuttle, so Finn and Rose. And we didn't...
It happened very quickly, too.
Yeah.
How did they get onto a shuttle?
Well, BB-8 so kind of ran them into with an AT-AT.
Yeah, but it basically looked like it just jumped off the ship, and then all of a sudden it was its own ship.
I agree with you. That was kind of cut weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the transports make it to the planet, the salt planet, and they... have this grand standoff. Obviously, the shuttle makes it when Finn and Rose get there. But Rose, Finn, and Poe all take their... I don't know what those things are. Jalopies.
Salt speeders.
Yeah.
Salt speeders.
Salt jalopies.
There was a funny scene where Poe's foot goes through the bottom of it. And he's like, it's funny.
That is cool. To me, that was where the humor fit. It worked.
Well, they're flying in. It's like, those look like the junkiest ships. They're going to fight this, First Order, AT-ATs and the giant cannon that's going to blow through the blast doors.
Exactly.
And it's like, those are driving jalopies into them. So it was... really interesting. But it
looked cool in the sand.
It did.
For sure.
What was Forrest Whitaker's name in Rogue One? It looked like his convoy.
It looked like his convoy.
It's all patched together with duct tape and bubblegum.
It was fun. And this is where we have Finn have that whole turnaround with his character. Mm-hmm. Where he's flying.
Suicidal, dude.
Into the cannon.
Ray shows up. With the Falcon.
Oh, yes.
Before this.
And pulls
all the TIE fighters away.
And there's a great sequence of the of the Millennium Falcon in a chase scene with the TIE fighters.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, Finn is like flying, driving
into this,
into the center of
into
like
the barrel of a gun
or something.
What was going on?
You know, reminded me of those air guns.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They had like the plastic, and you pull
yes,
it out of it.
Absolutely.
Finn said it was a Death Star tech. Just one of the lasers on a Death Star, but it shot a red laser, not a green laser.
It was so doing like, something already. Like, it was heating up or something and shooting a beam of something that he was flying in.
It was like a battering ram cannon is what they called it.
Or something.
Yeah. But somehow he could fly through it even though a ship was being affected.
That made no sense to me.
No, how can you fly in the middle of... But anyways, Rose stops him at the last minute.
And it's not a bump, dude. Like, she comes... blazing. Like, how do they just not both explode and
fall into a million
There's
pieces.
A few times. Yeah.
Well, we already went over the fact that they were jankety.
Yeah.
So, probably weren't going very fast.
Yeah. So Finn saved, and he saves Rose and brings her back to the base. They decide that they're going to go deeper into these caverns and these crystal creatures or dogs or cats or whatever they were.
Luke shows up
critters.
First.
I thought those were cool.
Yes. Like Luke does show up, and we have a whole face-off scene between Kylo Ren and Luke.
Well, first you got Luke and all of the all of the artillery.
Just firing.
Which is across. Gun was ever. So awesome.
Which is cool. Now, did we ever see before where the Jedi could mind project their image that way as well?
No.
So this is new.
Brand new as well.
Right.
So I thought it was cool, and I had no problem with that. I thought it was awesome how they just blew him to hell and he was still sitting
still
there.
Still standing there.
Oh.
But again,
the smoke clears and
that bothered me.
Your shoulder off.
That bothered me because that's not Luke Skywalker.
I don't know. He's cocky.
It felt weird.
He's cocky.
It felt like not needed. Like he could just look down.
It's like Han Solo rubbed off on him too much.
It felt a little bit like that, but it also felt like Jabba's Palace Luke Skywalker. Okay? When he's walking in.
It felt like a writer.
Destroy
it
you.
Felt like a writer director trying to bring the pop culture into this film with that whole I don't know. It didn't feel right. It just didn't feel right.
That didn't bother me as much, but it was kind of a little humorous. Okay.
Honestly, what I felt like he was going for with that
was an
over the top cocky arrogance because he wanted to piss off Kylo Ren even more.
Right.
You can see
that's what
way,
I really took from it. I didn't think that it was more fan service. I thought it was meant to literally be like a giant middle finger to Kylo Ren.
I think because by this time so much of the unneeded humor had been weighing on me, I was just like, oh, another one.
Mm. Well, we find out Luke is just a projection.
Yeah.
He's never left his planet. He's just sitting on the rock.
It's kind of cool.
Projecting himself. It is really cool. In fact, that whole scene between him and Kylo Ren was very, very fun to watch.
It was a great scene, and then the whole movie falls apart right after it. Where he's just like, oh, peace out. See ya. It disappears.
We're never going to agree on
fuckers.
They go through the caves. The Millennium Falcon lands and finds that all these crystal creatures are running out, and there's all these rocks. Rey lifts all the rocks and lets the remaining resistant force get out, and they get on the Millennium Falcon and they take off.
That's a cramped Millennium Falcon.
Speech about how the Jedi, you know, the ways will continue, even though the whole movie he's like, he must die.
Yeah. And the idea behind this, did you notice, was like from Luke's side and Kylo's side, they both wanted to end this cycle.
Yeah.
They wanted to end the idea behind having the master and the student. They wanted to end
the past
and the bad.
Die.
They didn't want Sith or Jedi.
And we,
however, they're both going right to it anyway. And even with Luke basically repeating what Obi-Wan said to Vader, and you strike me down, I'll be more powerful. And we saw that happen again. And again, we're just doing it. Like, well, you both don't want this to keep going, but you're doing it. You're literally living it out.
Right. Yeah. And then at the very last scene, we have the one of the child and the stable keepers telling the story of Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
And he's out there and he's sweeping.
Did you guys see him?
Grab the broom.
Yeah.
Did notice that. And the best part, he's holding it while looking up at the scene.
Yeah.
Like a lightsaber.
Oh.
I didn't like that scene
at all.
The
kid?
I know you didn't.
Yeah.
I was like, well, did you see he has the Force? And she was like,
I think that's the idea. Was that,
and I was like, he's the little stable boy.
It's still there. Like, the Force is going to come through regardless.
Right. Because the Force woke up.
Right.
Or if it's anything like me, rolled over and quietly rubbed one out while the wife was still asleep. So.
Oh, boy. You
had to bring it there.
I did.
That's where it was.
All right, so that's the movie's wrap. Last Jedi. Chris, I think you're in the same boat as me.
Yeah.
What were your feelings and takeaways after seeing this movie?
I walked away thinking, There was a lot I did like, seeing an expanded, more universe, seeing more planets, different worlds, creatures. I remember seeing the toy for the Porg before it came out, mm-hmm. thinking, oh, here we go. Now they're doing this is going to be the new Ewoks for the kids, right?
They are, pretty much.
Saw it in the trailer and was just like, yeah, I'm not going to like these things.
Less
and
important.
I like them.
Yeah.
You like the Porg.
I walk away from it going, I like those little things. Those mm-hmm. things are kind of cool because they're not annoying. Like,
but they're pointless.
They are pointless. But that, I think it's more along the lines of, like, this is just another creature. It's not like an Ewok or anything.
Marketing.
Yeah.
It is marketing. It is.
It's Pokemon. Definitely.
Get more
selling
Pokemon.
Toys.
It's definitely marketing, but at the same time, I kind of feel like it helps to world build.
It's, yeah, it's
not everything has to be a part. Like, the Ewoks, ultimately, the Rebellion would have failed on Endor if it wasn't for the Ewoks. You don't always have to have something that's directly impactful.
But the Ewoks are integral.
Yes, they
were a marketing ploy, but they're integral to story.
Right.
Porgs have nothing to do with it.
Except for making Chewbacca feel bad for eating them.
Well, it's aside from... Aside
it's like,
from
it was already cool. cooked. It was already cooked and defeathered, and now they're trying to make him feel bad. I'm like, really?
But I think the idea is to build the universe, to make it more realistic, creating creatures that you've never seen before, and maybe they don't have to have any kind of impact in the film.
Okay.
Those are things I liked. I liked a lot of the acting in certain parts. But for me, like, we walked away saying, would you rate it on a scale of 5? And I walked out already, like, you're coming out of a Star Wars film. And yeah, I already had some things that I was kind of like, ah, that hurt. But I was like, you know what? I could see that. That's a strong 4.2 for me. You know, not bad. But then the more I thought about these things, and the more I thought of Leia flying through space, the more I thought, you know what I'm saying? It was like all these little things, and I just thought.
So 1 to 5, what do you think?
It went down, dude. It went down. I'm probably hovering at like a 3.5 right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's not the worst one there is, but it's
no Phantom Menace.
No. It wasn't what I thought we were going to get, and I just feel like we said at the beginning was like there's a lot of stuff from Force Awakens we got no answers for.
Yeah.
I feel like the whole thing with Rey's parents was one of two things that, well, not even just that, a lot of this film, we said it before we started recording, that it feels like, what's the writer, director, what's his name?
Rian Johnson.
Feels like Rian Johnson went the past few years reading all of these fan theories, people saying, who is Rey's parents and who is she? Why is she special? Snoke is this, you know, powerful, and who is he? Why is it, all these things. And he just came at it going, you know what? We're going to make it so none of it matters.
He pulled a Daryl.
Just a
fuck
big
all of
F
you.
You to the
yeah,
yeah
exactly.
Fuck you to
and
the audience.
Felt.
And
it really
I didn't like that
Daryl
at all.
And I feel like I lost a lot of things, and we got, there's things we didn't get answers for, which we still might. Maybe it's a red herring. Saying that's just to piss her off and get her to the dark side. It didn't work. We'll see. But I just felt like, I remember saying before going in, like, do you think this is going to end the way Empire did? You know, that classic on a downer where it just everything's going to shit, but there's still hope. You're going to come back. And it was a great film, right? It ended on a downer, but it was because my feelings were down.
Okay.
You know, I was just like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Robbie?
How do I want to word this? This movie was so different than anything that I was expecting. The Rey's parents thing, I go back and forth on it. I actually don't mind that essentially they come from no one. It could easily be a red herring, and I kind of expect it to be, but I'd praise it if it wasn't, because it doesn't fucking matter.
Right.
Well, it
that's true. You're right. Because
it does not matter.
It does matter. Because
not at all.
They,
I don't
yes,
think so.
Because they wasted the entire Force Awakens and a lot of this movie over who her parents were.
But
they're wasting, if it doesn't matter, if their parents are no one, that is just wasting hours of the first two films.
Because it was the only person worrying about who her parents were was Rey. So the idea is I feel like the idea was that we're seeing her growth and development looking for her parents. And I have to be special. People tell me I have this power.
Right.
It has to come from somebody special. So even if it's not a red herring, I agree with you. I agree with if Kylo Ren says your parents are nobody, they traded you for drinking money.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense, because at the end of the film, we see a kid who's just nothing but a stable boy pulling the
precisely.
But I don't mind
Force,
that. That doesn't bother me whatsoever.
I don't mind it either.
The Force can come for and be influenced by anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't have to be a Skywalker. You don't have to be a Palpatine.
Right.
I loved that she, if she comes from nothing, awesome.
Right.
I think that that's almost even more powerful. If it's not the case, I hope that she's a Palpatine.
Right.
Because I think that that cyclically would make a lot of sense.
Yeah. I would love her to be a Palpatine.
That was really what I was banking on. If she's not going to be a Palpatine, I'm fine with her being from nothing, because I think that that's even more powerful with the Force. And another strong takeaway for me with this movie is how different we see the Force being manipulated. We've never seen corporeal projections. We've never seen the ability to fly, let alone through space.
Yeah.
And you know what? Why haven't we seen that?
Well, we did see big jumps, right?
We've seen big jumps, but if you have the ability to manipulate this force that literally surrounds everything, including oxygen, why, if you're able to jump and, you know, kind of levitate like Luke did at the end, why wouldn't you have the ability to do that even to a degree? Yeah. You know? So, yeah, the shots of Leia flying through space, yeah, I see where you're getting from. To me, it was mostly the score. If I had any qualms with that scene, it was the way it was scored, and maybe the fact that she kind of looked like an ice queen, you know, not like a socio, you know, like
Elsa.
Yes, she kind of looked like she was kind of sort of made of ice. Exactly.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's a forced flying ability. You're weightless in space. You just force pulled herself to the ship,
and that's really
it's like, how did she resurrect herself?
That's what
how
I
did
say.
She keep herself alive?
That's
she
was what I say.
Unconscious, dead, or whatever.
I mean, now, Disney likes doing that with Guardians of the Galaxy.
That
I
can get by. Nobody asked that question.
We're going to get to work on it.
I'm going to leave
that on the table, and then I'm going to jump in when inevitably one of these guys does. The last thing for me was that battle scene with Kylo Ren, okay? To see him turn good to a degree, just in that one moment where we all thought that he turned into a hero. And work with Rey, dispatch everybody, take down Snoke, and then immediately turn around and become an even more horrible, tyrannical badass than Vader ever could be by killing his master and assuming the throne. I thought it was very Game of Thrones-like.
I
thought that was so cool.
I feel like he genuinely did work with her and have this plan, but then once he saw Snoke dead, that's when the dark side hit him again, and he was like, oh, came to the realization, I can have the throne.
I think it
was because he's so confused and so conflicted, and he doesn't know what he wants, and he's a whiny little bitch. So, I don't know. I just feel like he...
Exactly what you just said is why I thought that that was his plan as soon as he started contacting Rey. I honestly thought, okay, I thought this was his plan. Okay, well, I'll get her to come over. We'll be buddy-buddy, and then let's just flip the table. It's us now. Fuck Luke, fuck Snoke, it's us now. Just flip the table. And I liked that.
I did think when he held his hand out to her, I thought that she might have taken it there for a moment.
Same.
And I wasn't really sure what was going to happen there. And I was very surprised that they took it as, okay, so he's going to be evil, she's good. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I like how Rey didn't turn dark, which I almost expected. I expected Kylo to turn good and Rey to turn dark, is what I was expecting.
That's what I wanted.
I'm glad that didn't happen.
I'm glad that didn't happen. I didn't want that to happen.
I'm glad that Rey solidified in her goodness when she was tempted so strongly by the dark side, by not just the dark cave, but also by Kylo. And she not only ultimately resisted, but her reserve was even more hardened.
Which stays true to the hero's quest.
Precisely. And then Kylo just turns even more tyrannical. He becomes that. He becomes that which what he always wanted to become. You know, and I really feel like all of the good is obliterated in him because his own internal conflicts will never allow that good to really take hold.
Okay, so rate 1 to 5.
1 to 5, it does have issues. There are pacing issues. I've mentioned about the casino scene. I'm going to go 4.6. I do think it's good. It's not Rogue One good, and it's not Empire good. Empire is still the best one, but it's up there.
Dave.
Let's go Holly first.
All right, Holly.
I don't know. I feel like we talked a lot, and I agree a lot with what everybody else said.
But what stuck out? Anything or good, bad?
Well, what stuck out, I guess, the most was probably the whole loss of hope, growth. You know, getting the people to kind of build the resistance back up. I don't know. I think I've said everything I thought I wanted to say.
What would you give this movie?
I don't think I could rate it. No. I'm really terrible at that kind of thing. so I wouldn't even know where to begin.
Okay.
I would have to have, like, charts and categories.
Do you feel like
and
graphs?
Do you feel like,
pie charts?
Do you feel like it's a strong Star Wars movie, or it's
no,
one that needs help?
Like, I really liked it. There were some things, like, you know, we kind of talked about gravity and the bombs and, you know, all that jazz. And, like, some things looked weird, like when the bombers blew up, it looked like they were falling out of the sky. And I had to kind of, like, watch the explosions and see if, like, maybe they placed them in spots where it could even project it to make it look like it was falling.
True.
But I also watched it in 3D, so I would have to watch it again, I think, to give a really good one, because I get distracted easily.
I plan on seeing it again to kind of solidify
I think you need to
thoughts.
See it one more time. I think it's just to get a little... But, yeah, it's difficult.
Brooke's back. What do you think of the movie, Rick?
Yeah, we went through a synopsis of the movie, so what...
You can say anything you want now.
So, like, take away the movie after seeing it, like, you know, what would you rate 1 through 5?
Well, here's the thing. I have different criteria than the rest of you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm much more of, like, how were the costumes, how was the acting, which was amazing. Like, I think that Adam Driver's going to win an Oscar, not for this role, but just in his life. He's such a good actor. How were the sets, how were the score, all that stuff. So I don't necessarily... I'm not as much of a stickler on the story. And I also am a... I'm going to go in a small rabbit, just a little one. You guys are all like, well, how could the Force do this? Well, how could the Force do that? Well, there's this common trope in mythology. It's very famous. They just can't. You don't need to explain it. It just can't.
Sure.
So I like that. It just can't. Why do you need to know? It just can't. And that's, for all of human history, we've always had that in our mythologies. The gods just can't. The witches just can't.
It's understandable.
Why do you need to know? They just can't. It's magic. It just is what it is. So for me, it's kind of like, well, how can I do that? The Force. Well, why? Well, why not?
That never bothered me that much, actually.
Like,
that
the Force just can't.
But it was kind of like, we've had, the biggest issue I think anybody pointed out was Leia after the explosion. We always knew that, obviously, she was related, you know, she's Luke's sister, so she has probably some Force powers, but we never saw them before.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden they just kick into high gear and she resurrects herself.
Because it was her break of death.
She could have been training too. Luke could have been like training her a little bit before.
That's what Kaylee thought.
Like,
but I don't agree.
We had a big chunk of like at least 20 years from, because I mean Kylo Ren grew up, so that we had to have a long time. I'm sure at some point she's like, hey Luke, you want to just like maybe give me a basic overview on these powers, and he's kind of like, you're so annoying, Leia. Get out of my room.
Can we kiss again? That was fun in Empire. Wait.
Nice. So I think, overall, I would give it a 4.5. I thought it was really good. I thought it was a little long. I thought there were a lot of sequences you could have cut down, and it wouldn't have killed it. Like the nightclub sequence and all that stuff could have been cut down.
That was cool, but it was
useless. I feel like there was a lot of stuff that could have been cut down or cut out. I also feel like, and I said this to Robbie, it was a lot. I had the Return of the King problem. I kept thinking, oh, this is the end. Oh, okay, we still have another point. Oh, okay, so this is the end. Okay, we still have another point. Oh, okay, so this is the end. Oh my God, come on now. This is where this is getting to Return of the King style. So I'd say it's a 4.5 with the acting, costumes, everything was great. And I like that Rey's parents were nobody. I thought that was kind of cool, like
that doesn't bother me either. I don't need to be anybody.
I just like that. It was
I feel like that's a big thing, like, you know, they talk about blood and you know, Snoke says, you know, you are supposed to be the successor of your bloodline and you should have all these powers and that's why I chose you, and Rey comes from nothing.
Yeah.
So like that's like choice or circumstance. Yeah. Like,
so I like that. So I would say a 4.5. I think there was parts that could have been cut and it wouldn't have changed the movie at all.
Yeah.
And I definitely think it had the Return of the King problem where there was a lot of like, oh, this is the ending, this is great. I thought when Luke disappeared that was the end and it would be like, we're done. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, there's still like 10 minutes of this damn movie. So it got a little long. I think that they could have cut... A lot of sequences could have been snipped or edited. I needed like an editor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or someone would be a little more like, no, that doesn't need to be in this movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They kind of start getting to the like the Stephen King problem where it's like he didn't need 14 pages to describe. Like,
they need you to rein him in.
They need someone to cut and be like, you know what, this is great. It's really cool visually, but cut him down. And then, so I thought that was... So I would say 4.5. There was a lot of... It was stuff that could have been cut down and there was too many endings. It was kind of like... All right, I get it. They all happily ever. Let's move on. But I do have to say, I also liked all the little creatures. I thought they were really cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dave.
All right. it's just hard to know where to start.
Just start from the beginning.
All right. Well, this will be another 2 hours. But
don't go that long.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away.
Well, to me, the movie, every single other Star Wars sequel or episode, they've had like time to pass in between the movies. All of them had, and with this one taking place immediately afterward, this feels like episode 7.5. Like it feels like the story is just getting started to me, and the fact that they have to wrap it all up in the next movie is disappointing. The fact that Daisy Ridley has said that she doesn't want to be involved with Star Wars anymore after it. After nine is annoying, because Star Wars is always about legacy, and the fact that Disney owns it, Star Wars should be a legacy, and that, you know, she, since Luke failed at, you know, rebuilding the Jedi Order, Rey should be the one that rebuilds the Jedi Order.
Actors say stuff like that all the time, and then when she finds out how much money she's making and how much money she could be making, and she'll be like, yeah, I think I could do another movie.
Yeah, sure, but
I mean, like Star Trek is riddled with that. Like, oh, we could make another movie and make $1 million. All right, let's do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure. But, you know, I feel like this movie wasted so many great opportunities. Like Phasma, they brought Gwendolyn Christie back. And she was in the movie for 5 minutes. Like,
You
got to see her eye this time. Like, they bring in this, she's a high tier actress. And they gave her 5 minutes. And they were talking about, oh, she's going to be way more important in this movie. And she's barely in it.
It feels like he just said everything you're expecting. Fuck you all.
It's just, they're just wasting all these potential things. Like, this whole backstory for Snoke, fuck you all. Rey's thing, fuck you all. And I don't mind if she's from nobody, if they would have established she was from nobody in the first movie. I just feel like they wasted so much time in the first movie, and everyone for the last 2 years has been talking, oh my god, who's Rey?
The Snoke thing, I'm down with you on. That's part of the reason I took points off, because I still really want to know Snoke's backstory, because I feel like that would be really interesting and compelling. The Rey's parents thing, I don't see an issue with that, because that's also a part of Rey's journey. The fact that she comes from no one doesn't matter to me ultimately, because it's a part of her story.
I mean, I would have been fine with her being from nothing, honestly. I just wish they didn't play it up as much and leave fans to speculate for so long. I mean, it could be a red herring. I kind of hope it is a red herring, but at the fact that nobody recognized her was problematic. And I do agree with pretty much everyone here. Everyone has said that the movie's been bloated as far as time goes. There's things that they could have trimmed. Absolutely.
37 minutes, I think. We could have lost about 17 minutes.
I was going to say 20 minutes. Easy.
Yeah. Easy. 20 minutes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Easy.
A lot of things. What would you rate it, 1 through 5?
I liked it better than Rogue One, because, I mean, as many problems as this movie has, nothing necessarily breaks canon. I would rate it probably like a 2 out of 5. Whereas like all the other movie, the prequels and the other ones being below. To me, the movie was beautiful, but it just falls apart for me in so many aspects of story. Like Luke Skywalker just dying for no reason. I literally threw my hands up in the movie theater. I'm like, what the fuck is this shit?
I think the reason was to help spurn the hope again. Because it was like,
him dying,
Obi-Wan didn't have to die when he fought Vader. He didn't have to. He put his defenses down and let himself be killed. Like, and Qui-Gon did the same thing.
I feel like he wouldn't have been able to make it to the Falcon. I don't think he could have.
Now, I watched A New Hope probably about 30, 40 times in my life. I'm 99.999% sure that Obi-Wan disappeared before that lightsaber hit him.
Oh, he did.
He became one with the Force before the lightsaber hit.
Sure.
But the idea behind it is to help spurn the movement.
To become one with the Force, to become, to tip it slightly more positive.
But it's got to become a symbol. It's about becoming the symbol for the others, to inspire them to either become the Jedi, to fight the, you know, all that.
And even more than just a symbol, but also more than just a symbol, to become an active power inside the Force, an active avatar inside of it, like what happens when they Force ghosted, which, by the way, Qui-Gon Jinn was the one that taught Yoda and Obi-Wan how to do.
Which is why I think it was important for Luke to do. It wasn't like he just died.
Because I don't think we've seen the last of Luke. I don't need him to be corporeal. You know, and he never said that, unless I'm completely wrong about this, he never said that he's not coming back in 9. I don't need Luke Skywalker to be corporeal. I just want Luke Skywalker around.
I mean, I hope he comes back as a Force ghost, but like we said earlier, I'm like, why hasn't Anakin ever appeared as a Force ghost to Kylo Ren? Set him right.
My theory on that, and again, this is just a fan theory. It's never been confirmed or anything. My theory on that is Kylo is raw emotion. Look at his lightsaber. All of the other lightsabers are elegant and, you know, shaped. And,
well, so is Anakin. Anakin was all about emotion.
Have we had any of them, like... Obi-Wan showed up for Luke because there was a relationship there.
Right.
Yoda showed up for him because there was a relationship there. Qui-Gon showed up for Obi-Wan because there was a relationship there.
And has anybody ever shown up for Anakin?
But Anakin's never been a part of Kylo Ren's life. So why would he show up for Kylo Ren whatsoever? Like,
and furthermore,
connection.
Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan never showed up for Darth Vader either.
Okay.
They became one with the Force at the end, and he was standing there with him. I choose to think of the original version of him as opposed to Hayden, whatever the fuck.
I don't know. I still feel that they kind of sold Luke Skywalker's character short.
They totally
they did,
for
sure.
I agree with
they
that.
They could have had him come back for another, you know, another episode.
And I would have liked it a little bit more if he force ghosted. Exact same scene. No changes. No differences. First 10 minutes of episode 9, just like what they did with Yoda. I feel like that, because Star Wars is all about cycles, I would have loved that. I wish that would have happened as opposed to the end of this one.
I mean, yeah, it was just for him to be corporeal in the next one. And the whole the Jedi need to end thing, I was like, in canon with the cartoons, they've established the gray Jedi and how you don't need the light side or the dark side. If you want true balance, you balance between both. And I thought that's where Luke was going, and then they don't touch on this at all. And I'm just like, this is the perfect opportunity to drop the cycle and just forge a new path.
Or did they? Because
I don't think they did at all.
Think about this for just a second. I'm not saying I'm right, but think about this for a second. Rey goes full dark when she jumps into that cave. She didn't even try to go away from the to steer away from the dark side. Luke immediately says, "Your training's done," and just runs off.
But I don't feel she went full dark. She wanted to explore. Yeah. She went toward the dark side.
But she went toward the dark side. You know what I mean? Didn't become a Sith, but went toward the dark side in that scene. Luke then runs away saying, "You know, we're done. We're done. This is not happening." But he still kept on training her and still kept on counseling her and whatnot. So he came back around. What if the Grey Jedi, and what if the reason he became one with the Force is because he's trying to mold Rey into the Grey Jedi?
It could be.
I would love to see that come to fruition, but
I'm not saying I'm right.
But I feel like it was a wasted opportunity to not to implement it for sure in this one instead of it being a maybe for the next one.
And that was something that brings you down to, what'd you say, two?
There's so many story points I just have issues with.
What was your score? What did you say?
I think 2 out of 5. I'm just
2?
Like, eh.
Anything else you want to say? Go ahead.
I mean, just the one last thing is since Carrie Fisher has passed, unfortunately, I was kind of hoping that they would have like let her be the one that hyperdrives the ship into Snoke's ship. That way she could have gone out in a blaze of glory. Makes sense for her not to be in the next movie.
I did
movie.
See they weren't going to kill her off, though. They were going to try to give her a natural kind of... She pulls away from being an active part of this thing.
But if they just kill her off in between movies or they just don't show her...
I think they felt like it would be disrespectful to her.
Or what if in the opening scene...
I think it's disrespectful not to have her.
Or at the opening scene of the next movie. I mean, granted, this is what I would do. It opens with the funeral of General Leia. You know what I mean?
That could be cool. Right, when she died, like,
precisely.
In between movies.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy. We could, you know, time jump another 10 years into the future for the next movie.
Sure.
You know? Maybe the kid at the end becomes a factor, or, you know, that alludes to the factor that there are now children that are waking up. Felt very final episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
To me, the whole thing is just, they were, like I said, stunningly beautiful episode. I don't have any problem with the acting. I feel a lot of the story threads were misdirected for no reason. Basically, Finn Rose going to find the hacker had no consequence.
No, it didn't.
It was complete red herring. Didn't need to happen.
Yeah.
If they had something that they were to offer later on, I'd be like, oh, this is cool. Had nothing to do with it. Like, you could scrap the whole part of this. There's nothing there.
I kind of like how a big plot point was them succeeding in this one thing, and they failed. I don't know why, but I kind of liked it. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not always going to win, and that was, like, just them showing, like, yeah.
True.
We're sometimes fail.
True. And then, like I said, we've been saying Poe is just wrong through this whole movie, and he's obviously, I mean, if he becomes leader, okay, he made some,
which
he
is
some,
weird to me.
He had some lessons that he learned, which is okay. That's interesting, but it was just a weird way to do it.
And I don't feel like he, like, even by the end, there was nothing that was learned out of it. Like, it just showed that he was reprimanded a few times, and then. And then, oh,
they
that
both
late?
Said they liked him.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he disobeys the rules. I think that's a great trait.
And they said they were gonna, they were sending Leia off in a natural way to see her step back. And I think that was the idea with the whole, like,
don't
follow
look at,
me. And then they look at her and she's like, well, follow him.
Don't look at me.
This whole time you're thinking,
successor.
Do you really feel like this one thing that just happened with that whole thing, you know, that hyperdrive thing, that whole thing has changed them enough for you to tell all the rest of the rebellion now, follow this man who a little while
maybe
ago you
likes-
said was a hothead, and at what cost are you killing all of our people? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, so maybe you're a horrible leader.
Yeah.
So that was one thing. Yeah. Obviously, some of the physics things, like the bombs, I'm like, it's stupid, but I'm willing to, like, you know,
because technically we shouldn't see explosions either.
In space, right?
So
I mean, there's a lot of little stuff like that. It's more of anything is that I felt Luke Skywalker character, I wish he came around and wanted to train her more and be more of a mentor.
Absolutely.
I feel like Rey is given nothing. Literally nothing. Nobody's giving her an inch. Mm-hmm. She needs that little bit. Do you need that mentor? Luke Skywalker got the
mentor.
She
even said that.
Yeah.
Luke Skywalker had two mentors.
Mentors, right. I mean, Obi-Wan died, but then spurred him on to find Yoda and stuff like that. She needs that, and I don't understand why. Again, Snoke died. We don't know anything about it. Maybe more will be answered. But I feel like you guys said, all the little questions we had, we thought maybe we'd get some answers to, we got absolutely nothing.
And more questions.
Yeah.
I would give this movie 3.6. Mm-hmm. I think I'm in the same bowl as you. I didn't hate the movie.
Right.
I thought there were some great things. Mm-hmm. You know, the battle between the lightsaber battle between Kylo Ren and Luke Skywalker.
That was a lot of fun.
It was very fun. Very fun. There were some cool things. I think a lot of stuff, too, I think the marketing aspect of Disney is a little ridiculous. I think the porgs are stupid. I think the crystal creatures are stupid. I just think, I mean, they're cool looking. They're non-essential.
They're just toys.
They're non-essential.
They were so weird, but they were so cool.
But at least the Tauntauns, they rode the Tauntauns.
Right.
They were mechanical,
Were those younger Tauntauns? I don't know, like younger kangaroo tugs or something.
But it just all
I like the world building myself.
I like
building. It's about the toys, but I like the world building.
But if you look back all the past movies, usually things have a reason to be in there.
Jar Jar?
Sometimes Jar Jar had a reason. As stupid as it was, he was in there.
He's a Sith. He started it all.
But
yes.
But anyway, so we got a lot of cool parts, but I don't feel like the story was advanced.
Right, it feels weird.
That's why I say it's like 7.5. It's just like, let's do two more and then actually be like the 8 and 9, because it feels, since there's no time in between them, like I said earlier, it just feels like it's still the expansion of the first story.
Okay, if anything, I feel like first 7 was 6.5 and this one was 7.
All right, so. Real quickly,
same difference.
Real quickly, quick thoughts of what the next movie will be, Chris.
Oh my God, I can't even go.
Well, what do you think they're going to do, and what do you think is going to happen? Or, just real quick, within
what do you think and what do you hope?
Yeah,
I think we're just going to see, because they're saying they're doing things differently. We see the characters saying they want things to go differently. However, we're still seeing the same pattern. So I think we're going to see that. We're going to see Kylo develop into a Darth Vader-esque figure, the darkest guy and baddest guy on the planet. You're going to see Rey, you know, follow Luke's path, the hero's path, and become a developed leader, you know, and you'll see Poe. The Han Solo to her, you know, to her Luke.
Where does Finn fit in all this?
Finn's weird, man. What's
he's
up
like
with
shoehorned
Finn?
Through this whole movie. He really has no place in this movie. They could have not put him in any of those scenes.
Yeah, that's true.
This movie could have been carried without
Finn's. Is a question, because I remember going into this thinking, does he have something going on with the Force?
Absolutely
maybe
not.
There's something going on, you know, and in this film there's nothing.
At least
made me think that whatsoever. Because this wasn't what I expected, it's even hard to project, go from there to be, because it's like, who knows?
Yeah.
I just think we'll see the same thing, though. You know, the same feel.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on what we think we're going to have. What I hope we have is a time jump 10 to 15 years in the future. Now we have an army of Sith and an army of what I'm projecting to be more gray Jedi, and I would like to see all-out war. I would like to see more of, like what we got in Rogue One, actual wars in Star Wars. Because we got a bit in this, but aside from this, and a little bit in Empire, Rogue One was the only time you actually saw full-out war
You want to see Kylo recruit and train and create a Sith army.
I don't even need to see a whole lot of training. No, I want to see the Sith army. It already happened. Okay, I want to see the Sith army. I want to find out more about the Knights of Ren, and I want Rey to at least attempt to bring others into the fold. I don't need full, pure, you know, or must take them before they're 2 years old, never have any feelings, blah, 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 blah. Because that was bullshit. And I know Kathryn Kennedy is working to obliterate a lot of that bullshit from the prequel movies. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to see. Gotcha. But, I mean, I'm still trying to process this. It's so very hard, difficult for me to give you a full rundown of what I think we'll get and what I hope we get.
Dave?
What I think we'll get? I think we'll get something super safe. I don't think we'll get the Sith army and the Jedi army. I do agree with Robbie a lot. I would love to see a Sith and Jedi army. I'd love to see something on a macro scale instead of a micro scale as far as with the Jedi. Because that's what one of my biggest disappointments with Episode 7 was that like Luke had failed utterly in mm-hmm. raising a new era of Jedi. Because I wanted to see something on a bigger scale.
He might be onto something about that, because it could be that Rey ends up recruiting and training Jedi, because at the end of the film, remember,
she had the books.
She had all the books. She had ended up taking all the books from the Jedi Temple.
Well, she took them before she left.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, you were assuming, right? But so she has them. She has.
I saw it too. I was like, I thought he burned that down.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
maybe
yeah.
she stole it beforehand.
He,
and we never
didn't
saw
go
it.
In. Yeah. So you didn't see him with the books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Holly? But I did catch that.
Well, I think Kylo Ren's going to lose his marbles. I think he's going to absolutely go off the rails, and that'll probably be his downfall.
Will he turn good, though?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I would like to
think
not
it's
see
destroy
him turn good
him.
At all, yeah.
Yeah.
You just want the Skywalker legacy to end completely?
This time we have to see that stop the cycle, like the redemption part. Let's do without that. Let's actually see what happens when you're evil, and then you end evil.
Right.
You know, what kind of power that do you hold now and influence over the
rest
of
the story? And the Skywalker legacy will die.
Well, like I said, you know, it may not even be tied to blood anymore. Mm-hmm. The Force can do whatever it wants, right? Right, Brooke? The Force can because it can.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying the Force can't do it at once, but Star Wars was always the Skywalker legacy. And
But that's what they're changing. It's not about that. That's why we're creating other movies and all these things, because it's not just Skywalker anymore. Well, it's about the world.
You can do other movies and still keep the Skywalker legacy going. Because it would be great to see this
come to an end.
It'd be great to see this family like screwing up the galaxy forever.
Like forever. I think
forever.
I'm tired of it after a while.
I think Star Wars. Well, Disney will use it to milk people out of more money and
absolutely
create more worlds and toys for people to buy into. I think that's all it is.
They got my money right here.
Yeah, but that's the point. That's why I hate when things are gimmicky. I mean, yes, Lucas did that in the first trilogy. Fine, mm-hmm. but he actually had a really concrete story that he constructed.
Yeah.
Now, the prequels obviously weren't that great and should have been fixed, but
yeah.
I just think Disney's not like taking a real like strong idea of story. They have good world building.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
That's not to say they won't. Who knows? They might. They might bring people in that care about
Force Awakens was like a good start. Yeah. And J.J. Abrams has a great way of making you love characters. And he did an excellent job of that. Rogue One, I didn't care about the characters, but it was a fascinating looking prequel whatever story. Everything else, this movie, I just feel like it could have been trimmed down. It could have been re-edited. Yeah. A lot of things could have been changed on this movie to make it more streamlined.
I agree.
And I don't know. Well, I think that should bring us to a close.
Yes.
We've been talking about this for a while.
A little bit.
Chris, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you and the podcast and the internet world.
All right. Yeah, find my other podcast, Back Issues Comic Book Podcast. And I also do one called History Creeps. You can find those on iTunes and Stitcher. And on our network, BICBP-radio.com. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Twitter's BICB Podcast. Find us. Cool, thanks.
Robbie?
You can find myself and Brooke and Holly as well at Nerdynomicon. You can find us at youtube.com/Nerdynomicon, Nerdynomicon wherever you listen to podcasts. Facebook.com/NerdyNomicon. Type NerdyNomicon into Google and you'll find us.
And Holly, any you want to give your Twitter handle or anything?
Oh, I tweet at Lunar Thistle. That's all I got for you.
And Dave?
Stalkers.
Yeah, need them. Need more.
I'm David_Jan_Duncan for Synthaholics. You can find us at Synthaholics.com, Synthaholic Duo on Twitter, Synthaholics on YouTube. We've got weekly videos that come out. Check those out. They're fun. The drinks, the Star Trek conversation, hopefully other conversations soon.
Absolutely. Aaron. And you can find me at Blackbird2004 on Twitter. Obviously, if you have a time, go on to iTunes, rate and review us, 5 stars preferably, and make a nice little written review.
Rate us all 5 stars.
Say nice. And check out NerdyNomicon, check out Back Issues Comic Podcast.
And History Creeps.
History Creeps. And if you have a little money in your pocket, obviously if you could go to Patreon and go to Patreon.com/Synthaholics and throw us a buck.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, thank you all for joining us. This was so much fun to do a roundtable conversation. It's been way too long.
Good time.
Yes, it has.
And thank you all for listening. Live long and prosper.
What a night.
May the force be with you.
May the Schwartz be with you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And also with you.
Peace out. Force with you. We laugh and we'll bullshit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had. Now we are?
Now we are.
Yes.
All right, guys, give me a second here. I might fuck this up.
Oh, you're good.
All right, here we go.
Pressure's on.
In this great hall of justice, there's assembled the world's 6 greatest heroes, created by the cosmic legend.
Cosmic legend.
Legends. In the great hall of justice, there is assembled the world's 6 greatest heroes, created by the cosmic legends of the universe. Chris Chavez of the Back Issue Comic. Fucking.
You get
Back Issues. Podcast. There's no comics in there, is there?
Yeah, it's Back Issues Comic Book Podcast.
Is there?
Yeah, okay. It's fucking long. That's another reason we're changing it.
It's a fucking mouthful. It took me about 5 tries to find your podcast.
All right, like, take three. You sure you want me to do this now?